Hello and welcome, welcome to ReachMahjong.pods, ReachMahjong.com's weekly podcast. This is Garth.
And this is Jen.
And once again, we have our special guest, Andrea. Hey, Andrea.
Hello.
Hi, Andrea.
Who we just found out was, or I found out, was named Ornria.
You're pronouncing it wrong. It's Ornria.
Ornria, yes. For those of you educated enough to know the word ornery, or ornery, depending on your level of pronunciation education. And our producer, Troy. Welcome, all. Let's see, random thing to start off the podcast. There is an unbelievable amount of wind coming into my house. I don't understand how so much wind can come into my house and none of it is going out. Where is it all going out?
Do you know how it's coming in?
It's coming in through both doors, the front door plus like the sliding doors out the back. Which, by the way, is an awesome demonstration of lift, which keeps airplanes in the air. Because when I'm trying to open the doors, the wind sucking through that those cracks in the doors creates such an unbelievable force of lift that it's impossible to open the door. It's really amazing.
Isn't that how Porsches stay on the ground?
That's how Porsches would stay off the ground if they didn't have the spoiler on the back to push them back down.
Yeah, that's exactly what I was trying to say.
Yes.
But why don't you just close the door?
No, the door is closed, but I guess there are little cracks that wind is coming through. And the worst part is that there's air coming up through the sink in the kitchen, which obviously goes down to the sewer, which smells like, well, it smells ornery.
Wow, I'm sorry for you.
Yes, that's
a
problem.
I have zero wind in my house.
Yes. It's weird, but, I mean, wind, I don't understand how it can all come into the house. There's got to be some wind exit point, and why couldn't that be the sink? Anyway, yes. Random news to start off the podcast.
I have random news, too.
Oh, you have random news.
I went to Macau last weekend.
Oh, yes. That's a little bit more specific news, I think.
Nothing to do with Mahjong, that's my...
But it had a little bit to do with Mahjong, because you were going to go visit a Mahjong parlor?
Yeah, I didn't do that.
Oh, it has nothing to do with
me. I had lots of amaretto, though.
Lots of amaretto? Wow, I did not know that was such a part of your of a Macau experience.
Well, Andrea came here, and basically we've been celebrating my birthday since the day after she arrived.
And sort of a birth month.
Yeah, so since all of my friends in Macau, I saw them the week after my birthday, so we had a lot more birthday celebrations.
Yes. It's the only way to go.
So we had lots of amaretto and no mahjong and lots of poker. And then on the way back, Andrea ended up on a flight that transferred in Beijing, and her flight from Hong Kong to Beijing got postponed. And then when she got there, she didn't make her connection, so she got stuck in Beijing, and I was back in Tokyo. Then I went to pick her up. Oh, here's something. Oh, I'm bringing it back to Mahjong.
Yes, okay. Tie it back in,
So
here we go.
I went to pick up Andrea at the airport at Haneda.
Uh-huh.
And it had kind of started snowing, so the traffic wasn't that good, but... And picked her up, and we're going back, and I end up on my way to Narita after I picked her up instead of to Tokyo.
Whoops.
We're going the wrong way. And then all of a sudden, I saw the exit for Tohoku, which goes up to Tochigi, Tsunomiya, and I said, let's take that. So I cut over three lanes, got on the freeway going the exact opposite way of my house.
Yes, I see Mahjong.
So we went up to Tochigi on the way.
What? You just went up to Tochigi on the way to your house?
Yeah.
From Haneda?
Yes. They have really good fried chicken up there. Remember that fried chicken?
Wow, so, for fried chicken.
Well,
amazing.
That's what I was thinking, but then I thought, well, who took us to the fried chicken last time? So, Kaori Shimizu.
You went by her Mahjong parlor?
No, but she lives in Tochigi, so she came down to Utsunomiya to meet us. And we went and had some gyoza, and we went to the bar that her friend owns that also plays in our Mahjong tournaments, Teruko. And so we just spend the evening with Kaori Shimizu.
Wow, that is wild and crazy.
Yeah, so now Andrea's hanging out with two people in the JPML calendar.
That is pretty awesome. The old swing by Tochigi on the way home from Haneda. It's like, it's like, you know, you're driving from San Francisco to L.A., but you decide to swing by Sacramento first.
Right. Not quite that far, but it is. And then on the way back, it started snowing while we were at the bar.
Huh.
And we couldn't get out of the parking lot because the ticket wouldn't work. I don't know if the machine was frozen or what, so we're stuck in the parking lot. And so the guy came to let us out. He let us out. He opened the gate first, and then he said, where's your ticket? So I gave him my ticket, and he tried to put it in the machine, and obviously still didn't work. And he goes, okay, just go. So we got free parking.
Very nice.
Yeah, and then it was really bad driving back. It was so snowy.
Well, and that, by the way, a la Fox News, is proof positive, again, that there is no global warming in the world. Global warming has stopped. We can all start driving and consuming as much as possible. Okay, so I think we've used up the non-Mahjong part of the podcast.
Okay.
Maybe even next week's. let's move on into Mahjong news, talk about what's going on in the world of Mahjong. I was reading up on some of the interesting news. The World Mahjong Championships, I did not know there was such a tournament, is going to be happening the week following the World Series of Mahjong in August. Did you know about the World Mahjong Championships?
Yeah. It's run by the Chinese people, I think.
Okay.
The organization that's in China that's a big proponent of the Chinese official rules.
Right. This week they're holding it in this year they're holding it in the Netherlands. And one of the things that I thought was interesting about it is that there is a guy trying to convince them to buy automatic tables for the tournament, which I think is something, you know, I've obviously proposed this to the World Series of Mahjong people too, and I just don't see how you can have a serious tournament without automatic tables, you know?
Well, one of the problems is
cost, shipping, yes.
Yeah, but also the thing is the technology of the tables in Japan. It probably sounds really bad to say this, but the technology is just so much more superior.
Yes, superior to the tables from China.
Yeah, and it's not that they can't make them. I think it's just it's not a priority.
Right.
So I think that I wouldn't buy the tables if they weren't from Japan at this point, unless they could prove to me that they were as efficient. Because the tables here, I mean, you'll be in a parlor. We have 50 tables at our pro league, something like that. And there's trouble maybe once.
Yeah, yeah.
A day. The tiles don't create problem. I mean, there's no problems with the tables, technically, except for maybe once. It's like 1 in 50 a day when we're playing like 8 games.
You know?
It's not very often that they get stuck or. Mm-hmm.
And yeah, when we were playing at the World Series of Mahjong, the one Chinese table stuck pretty regularly, once a game at least. Somebody had to come running in and fix it. But still, I think for a serious tournament, you know, and so that means you have to go with the Japanese tables if you want good quality tables. You know, it's just like having people deal their own hands at the World Series of Poker. I mean, come on, would the World Series of Poker ever consider just saying, okay, it's your turn to deal now, okay, it's your turn to deal as a player? I mean, come on, people are going to cheat. You're playing for that much money and people are not going to cheat? It seems a little ridiculous to believe that that's the way people are going to play. Okay.
There is an option. The big tables are really expensive, but Audubon came out with a new table last year, I think.
Audubon.
Alban.
Oh, yeah, Alban, okay.
I said it in the Japanese way, Aruba.
Yeah, okay, yes.
So Alban came up with a new table. It's made for home use. So the one thing it doesn't have is a score display,
which you
don't need for most international tournaments anyway.
Right.
Because you're not using scoring sticks.
Right.
But it's automatic. It almost never gets stuck. It's very, you know, durable and it's very mobile as well. You can. It's very light and you can take
Do you happen to know the price on that?
I think they're selling them consumer prices about $2,000.
Huh, that's not bad considering what the other new tables go for.
Yeah, the other ones go for around $8,000 right now.
Wow, all right, something to think about for automatic tables.
Yeah.
Another update on the tournament that's going to be happening in Korea in October. They will apparently be using Korean rules, so they'll have like a little session before the tournament with Korean players to help us all get used to the rules. Whoever manages to make it there, it's going to be organized by Takunori. Is this Taka or Takunori? I think it's Taku. Takunori Kajimoto.
Yeah.
And Jaiwon Yu, I think, may be close to the pronunciation of his name. He's of course the Korean player organizing it. And actually, the fee for joining will be less than 2,000 yen. So obviously, they're not trying to make money on this. They're just trying to get some people over there to enjoy playing Mahjong. A little international Mahjong exchange, which sounds like a lot of fun.
Yeah, I really hope that we can make it over there sometime.
It would be fun, for sure. All right, getting back more into the Reach Mahjong sort of news. Speaking of ReachMahjong.com, we will be having our first tournament of the year. The seventh Reach Mahjong to come?
It's actually the fourth.
The fourth.
We've had other tournaments, but they weren't Reach Mahjong.com cups yet. So
right, okay.
This is going to be the fourth official Reach Mahjong.com cup.
That'll be on the 28th of this month at which Mahjong?
It's called Park? Mahjong Yanagi. It's in Hachobori.
Hachobori, okay.
Yeah. There's a map on the website. All the information is on the website.
Yes.
Went up yesterday.
Find out about it on the website. And let's go to Macau. Let's go to Macau and have some fun. Some people are a little bit unsure about on the whole system, but it's basically a qualifier for the Reach Mahjong event at Macau, yes?
Yes, so it's a 6,000 yen entry, which is about $70.
Uh-huh.
And the winner gets a sponsored package to the Reach, the Reach event at the World Series of Mahjong. And also airfare and accommodations will be arranged.
Sounds like a pretty fun deal. It sure was fun last time we went.
Absolutely.
Can't imagine how it wouldn't be fun this time, too.
I think every trip that we've taken, Mahjong trip we've taken, has been fun.
Yes.
We've gone a lot
it's
of places.
It's been success no matter what happened. And also about ReachMahjong.com, we will have a new website up this month.
Yes.
New look.
All the columns are generally going to be the same right now. We will have an official podcast player. So you'll be able to listen on the site while you're reading articles on the site. Just press
Very
play.
Nice.
And there'll also be a Twitter feed coming in.
Okay.
Yep. So all you people that like your tweets, you can join in on our Twitter feed. There will be every section will have a column on the front page. So you can just look at it, click onto it, go to it. And then after that, we will have a new forum as well.
Wow, very nice.
Yeah.
Sounds exciting.
So the forums, I think we're going to have to, you'll have to sign up for the forum again, but we will move all of the entries that have been up so far to the new forums. You'll have to sign up again with your user account, but it will work better and it will be a better long-term solution. Our original forum that we made 1 year ago was really only a temporary solution until we could get something better. So now it is coming.
Very nice. All right. And other news. Tournament news. In Japan, I've been talking about the Champions League forever. I did mention last week, I think, that Horiyuchi was the winner, and I just they finally got a report about the tournament up last week, and it was interesting to read. He was pretty much just attacking the whole time, attacking straight out, and it was kind of funny to read the guy's commentary. The commentary was written by Masuda. You know who Masuda is? He's... He's a guy that some people in our league refer to as Abarea, which means, I don't know, but it's violence, right?
Yeah.
It's sort of like, he likes to throw down. and despite the fact that Horiyuchi won, he spoke very, he wasn't so complimentary in his assessment of how he won. there was a very interesting hand, like first game of the finals. Horiyuchi reached by throwing Dora, which was the white dragon, and he had a terrible wait. He was he had the 1-3 of characters, so he's waiting for the 2 of characters, and he has nothing else in his hand. Like it's just a reach only reach. but it was his turn as dealer, and he had just won the hand before his dealer. I think it was 4,000 points each. So maybe his thinking is, look, you know, I'm the dealer. I've got to protect my turn as dealer, and I did well last hand. I'm going for it. And he did that a lot, but the commentary was very like, you know, I don't think anybody else would play like this. So it was interesting to see the report on how Horiyuchi won the Champions League. If you can read Japanese, it was an interesting read on the Japan Pro Mahjong League website, JPML website. one other tournament. Did you have something to add on that?
No.
Okay. One other tournament that went on this week, that started this week for some of us anyway, was the Japan Open. That's actually a tournament run by Kyokai, the Japan Pro Mahjong Association.
Right.
And this was just the qualifier for the professional players. All professional players could join in this qualifier to make it to the main round, or the sort of starting round, what they call Honsen, for the tournament, which starts next week. And I did qualify for that in sort of similarly donk-ish fashion, which we'll talk about in the strategy section.
Way to go. Yes. I didn't even get to play in it. It was this past weekend.
This past weekend.
So I was in Macau.
You were out of town.
Some of us have to work and drink amaretto.
It's interesting. I didn't notice too many other Renmei players there. I think Fuji Sumire, also, she is like an alternate to make it to the next round.
Oh, that's good.
So she just barely missed qualifying normally. But if like one or two people don't show up for the tournament next week, then she will be she'll make it into the next round. And the last thing we have to report on for news is the North Kanto Finals.
Yep, and this just in. I just got it. There was no report on the website, but I just got an email from one of the leaders of the North Kanto League, Mr. Okawa.
It's good to have friends in high places.
Yes. Well, I think he's really the one who runs it. It's actually officially...
His baby.
The head is Yoshida Yukio.
Uh-huh.
He's the number one guy in there, but it's all really run by Okawa and his group. So the winner was Tanaka. I think it's Takashi is his name.
Huh. All right.
And
does he play in the Tokyo League also?
I actually don't know.
Oh, okay.
I mean, I played with him in the North Kanto League, but it's really hard to keep track of everybody. And second place was Aizawa, Kaoru Aizawa, who she was in the lead the entire season.
Well,
she had a huge lead. She had a 100-point lead on second place the entire time, which was me. third place was Mr. Okawa.
Uh-huh.
And then fourth place was the guy that just nudged me out of the finals, Ota.
Ota.
Yeah, he ended up in fourth place. In the Pro Amateur League, actually, it was three amateurs in the finals. I believe there were four pros and four amateurs in the in the semifinals. In the finals, the only pro that made it was actually Okawa.
Really?
And he got second place in that one. So he got third and second, and he says in his email that he just can't believe that he didn't take one of them down. And he said he was first place going into the last, the second to last game both times.
Oh, wow.
And then
he still managed to...
Yeah, he got overtaken. So, boy, we know how that feels.
Yes, we do. So, I'm guessing that you don't take your points from the normal season into the finals.
No.
The finals, everybody's starting from zero?
Yeah.
Okay.
That's what it looks like.
Well, congratulations to Tanaka for winning the North Kanto Finals, and congratulations to the... Who was the other player?
For the first place for the Pro Amateur Mixed League was Sakano.
Sakano.
I think his name's Kota.
Congratulations to both for winning the North Kanto Finals.
Congratulations for beating me.
All right, and that brings me to today's strategy talk, which I have dubbed Playing Like a Donkey. And I want to talk about Playing Like a Donkey because I played like a donkey at this last weekend's the Japan Open, mm-hmm. Kyokai's tournament. And the thing is, I didn't play like a donkey the whole time. But going into the final game, I had 37 points, and the border for going on to the Honsen, the next round, was at 10. And the thing about the Japan Open tournament is they have a very large UMA, a very large placing bonus. Mm-hmm. And not only do they have the placing bonus, they do 25,000 mochi 30,000 gaishi.
So you start with 25,000 and
you pay back.
You pay a 5,000 ante basically to the top place.
Which basically is the same as saying, I mean, you could just add that onto the UMA in the first place. And so you say that everybody else is actually minus another 5.
Yeah.
And then the top is not plus 30, but it's plus 45.
Yeah.
Right? So it's basically a plus 45, plus 5, minus 15, minus 35 placing bonus or non-bonus, depending on which place you manage to take. So with looking at that, I really needed to take third place. If I took fourth place, I was going to be at least minus 35. Obviously, I was going to be below the border. So I needed to take a relatively small third place. Immediately after, my first hand is dealer. somebody draws a manga on hand, 4,000, 2,000, right away, I'm down to minus, I'm down to last place. It goes like that throughout the whole game, last hand of the game, I'm 2,800 points behind the dealer, who is, as it turns out, is also in exactly the same boat. He has almost the same amount of points as me, so he also needs third place. And the guy that was currently in second place decided to ask all of a sudden what everybody's point situation was overall, because he wanted to know also, are people going for it or what? Turns out that he and the girl that were currently in first place also needed first places to go on.
Oh.
So basically, three of us are just in go-for-it mode.
Yeah.
Right? We're like, I don't care what anybody else is doing. I'm just trying to put a winning hand together. I open up my hand. I have three Wests and two Norths, plus a bunch of other letter tiles, and a few bamboos, which happen to be the Dora. So the Dora is the six of bamboos. The dealer throws the nine of bamboos. Right away, I chi with 7-8. So right away, people are like, what? What is this guy doing? So right away, people are going to start thinking, okay, he's going for a half flush or a flush, and he's going to need letter tiles. And my plan is already to con the West if it comes out, and pawn the North if it comes out. North comes out right away the first round, so I pawn that, and then the West comes out a couple rounds later, so I con that. I've executed my plan perfectly, and now do you have any idea what I have in my hand? Of course you don't. In my hand was,
I didn't know how I was going to answer that question.
The four of bamboos, south, white dragon, and green dragon. It looks like a discard pile. My hand looks like a discard pile. It's the kind of thing that, you know, I'm looking at my hand there and I'm thinking, God, what would Kojima Sensei say?
But I think it actually sounds kind of like how Hisato plays.
Yeah.
I've seen Hisato Sasaki have hands like that before.
Really?
Yeah, I have. When I've been watching him at study sessions or something, I've seen him have hands like that before. Like
just chi pulling chi, and then he has total absolute crap in his hand?
Every once in a while. And actually, it's one thing that Moriyama, our teacher, has said before, is if you're going to pull this, then make sure you either have a really good hand or a really bad hand. Sorry. Excuse me.
Excuse us, yes. Huh. Well, yeah, I had absolutely nothing to work with at that point. And then, you know, things kind of worked out. I got a couple Easts in my hand, and then I start worrying, oh my God, if I have to pawn East, which tile am I going to use as my naked weight at the end? But I got lucky. I drew the last five of bamboos, which was the Dora indicator, the lucky dragon indicator. And then the dealer, he drew Dora. Dora happened to be the number two guys in the number two guys' discards who had just reached. He's got to go for it. Every time somebody throws away bamboos at that point, they're like, they look at me and they throw it down lightly. They're like, oh, God, I hope this so it was kind of, you know, everybody knew what was going on. But he threw Dora to me, and I got 5,200 points, and blam, I moved up. I get to go on because I played like a total absolute donkey. And the thing is, you know, it works sometimes. And in fact, like that, it had to work for me or I wasn't going to get to move on. And I didn't play like that all day, and I didn't play like that all game, even that game when I really needed to move on. But that was my last chance and I had to do it. And I guess there are times when you really have to play like a donkey. And I was just wondering, can you think of any times in your past when you had to play like a donkey and it really helped you, or when somebody else played like a donkey and it killed you?
Had to play like a donkey? Thought we were just talking about times when I played like a donkey and it worked out.
Oh, okay, that works too, yes, because I have a couple of those situations coming up. Yes.
Time in North Kanto, I was in a situation where I actually had a ready hand.
Uh-huh.
And the Dora was the one of Bams.
Uh-huh.
And I had two Dora. And I had to make... I was ready. And I think it was 1-1-2-3-3-4-4. Maybe it was 1-1-2-3-3-3-4. It was something where it was really hard to remember. And
it was really hard to remember what you were waiting for.
Well, it's hard to figure out what I was waiting for and also to remember right now. But I ended up throwing away the Dora, the one of Bams. And I realized that I could have been waiting for something like a 2-5 if I had discarded the 3 instead.
Right. Uh-huh.
So I was like, crap, what do I do now? And then I drew a 2 of Bams.
So you were now missed win.
Yes, and now I could be waiting for a 1 in a 4.
Uh-huh.
And I was missed win. And so I don't know what to do, so... This is still, like, the third or fourth discard.
Oh, my God.
It's really, really early. I was just, like, flustered, I guess, because we had just dealt the hand. So so I put it on the 1-4 weight, and guess what?
You drew another one.
I drew another one. I got another Adora, and now I had 4,000 each or something like that, so...
Oh, isn't that a happy story? And, you know, and the thing is, it just destroys your opponents.
Yeah.
They see that, and they're like, oh, God, how do I lose to this donkey? And... The thing is, once you win like that, you get the rest of the game easily, because everybody's just like, I don't know what to do. I play normal Mahjong, and then this donkey beats me like that. Like, how am I supposed to beat that? And it's interesting because I tried having been so successful with this on the weekend. I decided, hey, why don't I try this at work just to see if it works at work too? Like, so a couple games when I was in last place, I was like, okay, I'm gonna play like a donkey because I have to win the game. This is all I can do. I need to win the game, and it didn't work at all. It was totally unsuccessful for 3 games in a row, and it didn't work at all for me. But who it did work for was somebody else who beat me when I was in first place. And the thing is, it didn't work for her because she played like a donkey. It worked out for her because other players were playing like a donkey.
Yeah.
And
other players named Garth.
Well, no, this was a different game where I was actually in first place. So in games where I was in last place, I decided, okay, I'm just going to play like an idiot and see if I can somehow pull out a miraculous win. It didn't work. But... what did work for somebody else when somebody played like a donkey was, you know, when I was in first place, it was her turn as dealer, and she wasn't playing badly so much as she was just going for it. And the difference between when I played like a donkey and it didn't work and when it worked for her and when it also worked for me is that the other players were also going for it. Everybody is in go-for-it mode. And the thing is, when a lot of people are in donkey go-for-it mode, anything can happen. It's when just one of you is like, oh, I'm just going to go for it. It's just me and try to make something happen here. You know, you're going to have to get really lucky. But if everybody is in go-for-it mode, sometimes you just don't know what's going to happen. And at that moment, good Mahjong makes no difference at all anymore. It's just who's gonna get lucky and hit whatever crap they happen to be aiming for.
So you don't, like... I agree with the, if everybody's going for it, you should play defensively, and if everybody's playing defensively, you should go for it, kind of.
Well, all right, but the thing is, so I was in first place, mm-hmm. And everybody was going for it to try to get my first place. I was actually in first place, but second place had, I think, 3,000 points less than I, and first place had, like... 8,000 points less than I, and then fourth place, the guy who was really, really, really going for it, like ridiculously, he was at least I don't know, 20,000 points out, and for some reason he decided he had pawned the white and red dragons, but I had just thrown away 2 of the green dragons before he managed to pawn the second red dragon. So when we opened up the hands later after he had conned the 7 of bamboos after the dealer had reached.
Wow.
And the thing, if he had played that hand rightly, he had 7 7 7 8 9 of bamboos and the 3 3 of bamboos. After we opened up the hands, he conned the 7 after having thrown away the 9, because when he drew the one of the last green dragons, he switched out the 9 for the green dragon. I guess he was thinking he could get the half flush and small dragons,
right?
Which still would have only been 3,000-6,000 points, and it would have moved him into third place, I think. But because he conned, the dealer got an extra 2 Dora. And that gave her 4,000 each from all of us and pushed her into first place. And so she won the game because somebody else was playing like a donkey.
Gotcha.
And the thing is, when there were 3 players that were kind of playing donkey style, it was just like, I'm going for it, I got to make something happen. And it did happen for her because there were other players going for it. When that's not the case, I think it's really difficult to make playing like a donkey work. Like you say, playing tight or playing loose, in regards to other players playing tight or loose, That's kind of a different story, I guess.
Well, I know that's a very common strategy
in poker. Right.
And I would say the difference between that and Mahjong is you can't exactly just throw your hand away in Mahjong. You can fold, but it's a different way of folding because you can still lose points that you haven't put in the pot at that point. And in poker, you can't. So I think it, even if you had that same kind of basic strategy, it would need some tweaking if you brought it over to Mahjong.
Yeah, and since it's a point game, it doesn't matter the fact that I didn't actually lose any points. Well, I did lose points because she drew. But, you know, in the end, she overtakes me, and it didn't make any difference that I perfectly managed to get off my hand. She still won the game by winning her hand.
Right.
And winning her hand big because this other guy helped her out. Jerk! Well, anyway, yes, that's a little talk about how sometimes playing like a donkey can be to your benefit. And that wraps up our strategy talk, and that about wraps it up for our podcast for today. Let's close things out. What's happening this week? Nothing. I can't think of anything that's happening this week, except for this weekend is, of course, the next round of the Japan Open.
Right. I'm going to Himeji.
Himeji?
Yeah. It is in Kobe. It's in the Hyogo Prefecture, so it's near Kobe.
This is a Mahjong parlor, or it's an event?
Yep, I'm going to Kaori Shimizu's parlor with Kaori Shimizu and Yukiko Izumi.
Wow.
We have a guest job this weekend over there, so that's for 2 days.
Very
nice. It's
going
to be exciting,
that
so I'm sure
like
I'll
fun.
Have some stories to tell next week about it.
Very nice. I hope I have some good stories from the Japan Open. Also coming up next week, we'll be anticipating the Grand Prix and the Taiwan qualifier for the World Series of Mahjong. So there will be some interesting things coming up starting again soon. So thanks again for listening. Once again, if you would like to get in touch with us, I am Garth at reachmahjong.com. That's G-A-R-T-H-E. And what's your address?
Jen, J-E-N-N at reachmahjong.com.
We always love to hear from you, and thanks for listening.